All right, Jake, I sent you the call of that Vikings missed field goal that lost them the game. Greg Joseph's missed field goal as time expires that allowed the Cardinals to beat the Vikings 34-33. Well, you're an Iowa guy. What NFL team did you root for?
The Bears.
The Bears? There's some Vikings fans up in Iowa.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, a lot of them. Yeah. Brother-in-law is a big Vikings fan.
But you were a Bears guy, huh?
Yeah, I like Ditka.
Okay. I won't argue with that. How you doing, Mike?
Ditka.
Good. Good.
Mike Boddicker joins us, and tonight's a big night, right?
It is the big night, yeah.
So tell people what's happening tonight.
We're drawing for all the goodies.
All the people that bought tickets. Do you have any idea how many tickets were purchased?
No, really don't. I pretty much leave that up to the family, and they got everything figured out. I'm not smart enough to do any of that
right.
stuff. And tonight's we're over at Mitch's place over in Olathe, his studio instead of our basement, and they have a randomizer that pulls up the different names and stuff like that, I guess. I don't know how it works. But,
right.
I know we went over there yesterday and took the smoker over there from Casey Grilling. So, the studio's fabulous. You'll like it, and it'll be good. It'll get all the goodies drawn and get them out to people.
So you can, if you want to watch tonight, if you purchase tickets and you want to see as we draw all the names for the different prizes, you can go to BoddickerFoundation.org. And then click on the fall charity raffle, and there it says click here for live stream. So it can't get any simpler than that. And then you can find out who wins or if you...
see these beautiful Board Patrol guys.
Well, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Who wins the A10 Shadow Experience, the George
Yeah, I'm looking forward
jersey,
to that.
The Salvador Perez autographed jersey and bat. All kinds of great stuff that is going to be given away. And, of course... For the raffle, the reason for the raffle, for the Boddicker Foundation, all proceeds to support Children's Mercy through the Oncology Support Fund. And so if you didn't get a chance to buy a raffle ticket, then there'll be more events in the future, more opportunities.
Well, I already started gathering for the bourbon raffle for the spring. So.
Oh, boy. I bet you have. Jake, did you get the... So how brutal would this be? Look...
Oh
Nate,
God.
You talk about sometimes you get caught doing stuff and you have to watch, you have to listen to a game on the radio and you can't see. You're depending on the eyes of the play-by-play man.
That's actually one of the things that's fun about doing play-by-play for radio as opposed to TV. You know, when you're doing TV, you're
no
kind
pants,
of,
right?
Well, that too, but you're kind of unnecessary on TV. You know, like you can. People can watch the game with the volume down, and they can pretty much see what's happening. You're just kind of adding a little
bit. And I do.
Lebo said I'm unnecessary on the radio, so I don't know what that means. But
like when you're doing radio, like you get to paint the whole picture.
Yep.
So
people
you know that the person,
on your eyes.
The person that's listening, that you know, they're the better the description, the more they can see the game in their mind's eye.
They depend more on your words.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so...
Because they can't see it themselves.
If you were a Minnesota Vikings fan, depending on these words, tell me how you would have felt after listening to the end of this game. Jake, play it.
High snap. Put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he
missed
it.
It's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right. What a gut punch to a team, Paul, that play after play, toward the end, fought its way back. Oh, missed it by like a foot. And just, oh my God, high snap.
It was not a foot. I mean, he missed it.
Play that again. Like, you know how excited you'd be like, oh, and what?
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on. It is gone.
Yeah.
No good.
He missed
it
right.
Wait,
what? Mr. Right.
Because you're probably yelling and jumping up and down, and you don't.
Oh, no.
He missed it right. What a gut punch to a team. call that play after play toward the end fought its way back. Oh. Missed it by like a foot.
No, just, no, I missed it by probably 10 feet.
So he really wasn't watching it? He was just hoping?
Well, I think that when you're sitting in the press box at the 50-yard line, it's hard to tell left and right. You can tell if the guy, if he kicked it far enough.
Well, here you go.
Would you make the call until you found out,
though? You have two officials that are standing right underneath the goalpost.
Yep. Either their arms go up
or
they don't.
When I worked for CBS,
you were in charge. Oh, no, he missed it. I'm sorry.
The only thing I watched were the officials.
Right. Right.
That was the only thing I watched.
What else did you watch? Or was that the only thing?
There
we go.
Only thing.
Just back it up. It's the only thing.
Yeah, that's a bit of a rookie monitors. Mistake by a veteran broadcaster, but we all make mistakes.
No, we don't.
Now, put down Joseph. Come on! It is gone! No, he missed it!
No good.
You idiot. The bait and switch there.
You idiot, it's no good.
No.
It's good! No, it's not.
That's the other thing about radio is you can take an extra second to make sure. Because they can't see it. They don't know if you're a second behind or not. You don't have to be.
You can hold it. And the kick's up.
It is. Build the anticipation.
It's like in baseball. They sit there. They'll be talking, and next thing you know, it's 2-1, and you haven't heard a pitch. You didn't know. You have no idea. You're guessing.
No, well, bottom line is they lost the game. So
they lost.
That happens.
You know what? It does happen. Mike Boddicker is in studio with us. Mike, nervous times right now for Jake Gutierrez on the Border Patrol. The Royals are sitting at 69-83.
Mm-hmm.
10 games left in the season. Jake went for the over in the prop bet of 73.5.
Ooh.
He needs 74 wins, so he needs the Royals to finish 5-5 in their last 10 games, and he can collect his winnings. What's going
to
happen?
He needed Benintendi to catch that ball last night.
That was a tough one. What do you think happens now?
Yeesh.
How do you feel about his chances? I don't think Mike feels very good. He's trying to break it to you.
We play Minnesota at the end, right?
The last three.
It's a possibility. We play Minnesota.
That's
pretty
only
good.
Three.
Well,
what about the other seven?
Well, yeah. I still like your chances.
They got one more against Cleveland, and then three at Detroit, and they come home for the final six games: three against Cleveland and three against Minnesota.
Yeah, the Cleveland thing kind of kills you. Unless we're playing doubleheaders, then we can beat them. Nah, you got a chance, Jake. You still got a chance. So you're saying you have a chance.
What's there on the table for you? I mean, you're not. Again, you're asking to go 500. That's not out of the question.
No.
Until you have to go 8-2.
All we need is these young pitchers to be able to get through the first inning, and then we're fine.
Well, that doesn't always happen, Mike.
It never happens. That's the problem. We're always giving up.
Hey,
it
does. Three of his last four starts, Singer's been good.
Yeah.
Meatloaf said two out of three ain't bad, so three out of four ain't bad either, is it?
Three out of four is okay.
I'm,
but you know what? And I watch Brady.
I won't ask about
Brady Singer. And
say something good about Singer.
I am. He's the one guy out of the young kids who, when he gives up some runs, he's pissed. You should be pissed.
He's got a competitive fire.
He does.
Right?
He had a little fire in his gut. I like that about him.
Whiz and vinegar.
Yeah, but. He's the one guy that's, you can tell, okay, I'm not supposed to give up runs. I don't like it.
But it almost seems like it hurts him because then he gets in his head or he gets so upset. He'll
figure that out, though. But the fact that he doesn't like to give up runs.
The other guys
are like just bland. It's like, oh, I did okay. I'm all right. No, you're not. You can figure it out.
You'd rather have somebody with a competitive fire and hates losing like that, and you can get them to
rein it in a little bit.
Versus a guy
has nothing there. It's never going to get any better.
Man, you know, I'm trying to find something positive about Jackson Kowar, and I can't.
There is nothing. Nothing. It's stuff. It's stuff. There's your positive. You got great stuff. Other than that,
why can't you get anybody out then?
I mean, he's getting annihilated.
It's like last night, okay? What did Lynch do? He walked two guys. Not even close. He wasn't even close to the strike zone. Walked two guys. They score. You can't come out and walk guys. And then Kowar does that every game. Comes out in the first inning and he's all over the place. And you can't do that. Rein it back in. Locate. Get yourself through the first where you can get yourself settled down and go. And the younger guys, they don't seem to be able to do that.
But is it fair to say like that there's something positive to take away from Lynch because he gave up three in the first, one in the second, and then pitched four shutout innings and got six innings out of it versus I feel like Kowar would not.
If you get three out of Kowar, you're lucky because he can't make it any further.
Right, but I feel like Kowar's not getting out of the second inning. He's not, at least Lynch within that start, was able to settle down and
give you six and give you a chance. Right. And it should have been better. If Benintendi catches the ball, it's a better outcome. But still, you can't walk.
But they're all earned runs, so those ones count.
Yeah.
Lynch didn't unravel.
No.
I feel like, you know.
No, he settled down.
I think
that's a positive.
We still have to figure out a way to get these kids to come out in the first inning.
These damn kids.
Well, they're kids.
Right.
You know? But there's got to be a way, because you look at the whole group, and generally, they can't figure out the first inning.
Well, one thing that is a little troubling of what you're saying, though, is when you say they're kids, Kowar turns 25 in 2 days from now.
Yeah.
And Lynch...
But I didn't make it up until I was 25, too. Yeah. But, I spent a lot of time in the minor league.
I feel comfortable calling him a kid because... I actually have a kid that age, so.
Yeah, I mean, compared to us, they're kids. Yeah. But I'm just
Rich will be 25 in December.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, 25 is...
Yeah, he's not 22, 21, 22. Yeah.
It is young to be a major leaguer, and obviously, like, usually they say the pitchers hit their prime in their late 20s.
What you're saying, Nate, he's a man.
Well, according to the law, he is a man, you know? Yeah. I'm just saying, like, there's...
You can have a cocktail. It's legal.
25.
Yeah.
Like, they say, like, by the time, if you're 25 and still in AAA, they start to go, okay, it's time for this guy. He needs to kind of pick it up or else you stop becoming a prospect.
Right.
If you're past 25 and you're still in the minor leagues, they start to go, okay, well, there's a reason this guy's still in AAA at this point. And that's not always the case. There's different, you know, there's... Lorenzo Cain took a while to get up because he hadn't started playing baseball.
I had four 20-game winners ahead of me. I couldn't crack that one.
Right, right.
Yeah, a couple Cy Young Award winners.
I'm not saying these guys are old. It's just that the idea of drafting college pitchers is supposed to partially be...
Get them there quicker.
They're a little more advanced. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't need as much time in the minor leagues, and so you think when they get here they wouldn't need... And there's always going to be an adjustment period, but... It's a little easier to swallow, like, if it's Jackson Kowar struggling that way and he's 21, 22, than when he's 25 years old.
But there's also... To me,
his delivery is very good. His mechanics are very good. His stuff is fabulous. You got to be able to figure this out. How about throwing a sinker up there? How about taking 4 miles off and locating a pitch and get yourself settled down and... You'll find out that you don't have to throw 96, 97 to get people out. There's a lot of guys in this league that were doing very well throwing the low 90s.
Like, for example, there's a difference in Lynch's struggles versus Kowar's struggles.
Yes. I mean,
Kowar's just getting...
He's getting roared.
Yeah.
But he doesn't seem like it even bothers him.
It's got to bother him, though. I mean... Just because he's not showing it on the outside. I can't imagine he's thinking to himself, oh, this is going great.
I don't know. He seems like he's awful happy out there.
I'm in the big leagues. Who cares?
I'm here. I'm happy.
I mean, some guys are just more stoic than others, too, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like
Yeah, but you never even see that little flinch of your grit in your eye, you know, where you're, you know, firing. It's like, gosh, I can't do that. There's nothing there. It's just...
See, people criticize Singer for that. I know you said you like it, but people like complain that, oh, he gets too emotional.
Nah, I'm all right. Now, look at Tim Belcher. Look at Belcher got emotional. Man.
But he
could figure it. He figured it out how to.
Everyone that's not everyone. I've had a few people tell me that he was the most difficult person to deal with for the media in the clubhouse. Oh, yeah. Maybe the biggest a-hole that is Warner Royals.
Yeah.
Not in life, just to the media, to the reporters. Is that? Can you confirm that?
Well,
a real red ass.
He was a true one. Yeah,
bright red ass.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, him and Gibson. Kurt Gibson.
You could see. I mean, if you're expecting anything else from Kurt Gibson, that's your fault.
Yeah, love those guys.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
That's fun to
something
watch.
I've always
fun to
wanted
watch.
To ask. Right?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Why can't pitchers talk the day that they're pitching?
I did.
But there's this. Is that
most starting pitchers don't talk the day that they're going to pitch.
Yeah, but most starting pitchers are so deep into themselves. I mean. I played missile command up until the time that Jimmy Tyler brought my hat in and said, hey, it's time to go.
Missile command.
Yeah, the old video game in the back room. I wasn't studying hitters or anything like that. I looked at the box scores the last 4 days and going, okay, this is who I got. This is who's hot.
You're like Gronk. You're not watching film.
And here's my umpire. I know what he's like. And if I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to win this ball game.
Like...
Eddie Murray and I sat. We had two missile commands in the back room, and Eddie would sit in one, and I would sit in the other, and we'd challenge each other and see who got high score. And then they would bring my hat back. That's how I knew it was. That's how I knew it was time to pitch because my hat was hanging on the outside of my locker that day.
So is that an unwritten rule? Is that uniform policy? So is that just up to the pitcher? Like what?
I mean,
that's not policy.
One time I tried to ask Jeff Supon a question the day, and you would have thought that I asked him to go jump off a bridge with me.
Yeah.
I'm starting today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember, I think I made the same mistake with Gilmesh one time, and he didn't even say a word to me. He just looked at me and shook his head like.
Did he try to slap you like Canelo Alvarez at all?
No, he might have.
Right.
James Shields threatened to punch me. What time?
Cause I liked James Shields.
You talk about a guy that pitched with emotion.
Tell us the story.
Yeah.
You can't just dangle that out there.
Well, he told the PR guys that if I asked any more questions about his lack of run support, he was going to sock me one.
Were you asking a lot of questions about his lack
of... I wish you would have walked right in there.
I was tempted to just be like, hey, how about that run support?
Hey, what you do? Yeah, James Shields, what was he, 6'4"? He'd have punched right over your head.
He's a horse.
I could have ducked it easy.
But what
wanted him to connect. I've always wanted to be a millionaire.
Did part of you want to go up there and say, how do you deal with a lack of run support?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. A huge part of me wanted to do that, but the other part of me wanted to keep my job, so I decided not to do it.
So he said,
dumb move.
Okay, so had you asked him a lot of questions, thinking back, was that warranted?
No, but somebody, it was like a season, I can't remember which season, I think it was like 2013, he was just, nobody was scoring any runs. Every time he pitched, they wouldn't score. And
years like that.
So he
tough.
Was getting asked about it a lot, and then I asked him a question. Like, you know, I was like the last. Like, I had done it. Like, it was like five games in, and then I asked him at this time, and that was his breaking point. He didn't like me.
All you have to do is say, "Hey, do you think these guys are not trying to score me runs?" And that's all you say, and then you just leave it at that.
Yeah,
everybody's trying out there. Trust me.
Yeah, of course.
But that's just a question I wanted to ask you because, like. Why is it okay to ask the guy that's catching?
I was fine talking to the media.
I can't talk. Like, I mean,
the day I was pitching,
why can you ask someone
else?
Because
starting
playing?
Pitchers are really high maintenance.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's all.
No, I talked to people the day I pitched. It didn't matter.
Every
it's
starting
like
pitcher,
most starting it's like a no hitter. I mean, I had a couple of close ones, and the guys would stay. I said, "What are you guys doing?"
Hey,
I said, "I know I have a no hitter. Get down here, talk to me."
Hey, you can't talk. He's starting today.
Jeez.
I go, how about the guy starting at third base? Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a different thing, man. The starting pitcher
usually gets to
pick what uniforms the team wears. Yeah. That was the thing when they started having all the different alternate uniforms and stuff. The starting pitcher
did
a lot
you do
of times
that, Mike?
Would,
which one did you pick?
Yeah, right.
And then they get to pick what music's in the clubhouse.
Yeah, you did.
I always loved it when Danny Duffy was pitching because it'd be like Bob Marley playing in the clubhouse.
What the hell did you get to do? What you
played?
Missile Command.
Missile Command.
Did you pick the music?
What music?
What music would you pick? If they would have said, hey,
no,
hey Bob,
they played whatever they wanted to out there. And there was no walk-up songs. There was no
Some Lionel Richie?
I like Lionel Richie.
You would have played some Lionel Richie. Play some Lionel Richie for him right now if you could. Well, I mean, I'm just asking. I'm trying to get back to 1983, 84, 85, Mike Bonick. What are you looking for?
Maybe a little Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Maybe some Toto. Toto,
yes, Toto was good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like this, like dancing on the ceiling, they get everyone loosened up. And
you know what I found out?
All right, I got to meet him. I went out to Vegas. He was great. He was fabulous. Lionel Richie was great.
I'd like to see him in concert.
Oh, I would love to see him in concert.
Tremendous catalog.
We went to the back and met him and talked to him for a while. That was cool.
Did he say, I'm performing today, I can't talk to you?
He was great.
Now, here we go. Whenever I hear Toto, he played the hell out of this album. You know, he had the big stereo and everything. Yes, I remember I was like, 10 years or whatever. Steve, come here. You gotta hear this album on my new stereo. I said, oh yeah, and he put it on there. And he was like, oh my God, listen to this. How could music ever get any better than this?
That's pretty damn good. I love Africa.
This is a fantastic album. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient.
Monica must be starting. We're listening to Toto.
Right, that's right. Monica's on the mound. Don't ask any questions.
Hurry, boy, it's I remember in Boston, anytime that Clements pitched, they'd play Elton John's Rocket Man.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I remember. Other than that, yeah.
Can he go up and talk to Roger on the day?
Yes.
Could I?
Yeah. That was cool.
You know that Toto dominated the 1983 Grammys.
Well, they should have.
Seven Grammys, by the way.
All well-deserved.
Best album, but best record was Rosanna.
Oh, Rosanna.
I believe
it
was written about Rosanna Arquette, right?
Is that right?
Sounds good to me. Lionel Richie won that year Best Pop Male Vocal for Truly. So.
It was a good year, 83.
I got a nice ring from that year. That's why this is your song.
Yeah, I got a nice ring from that year.
In 15 years of covering the Royals Clubhouse, I don't think I ever came across a starter that was willing to talk on
Play Rosanna.
Well, I tell you what, you came out, I'd have talked to you. It didn't bother me at all.
When you were with the Royals?
Uh-uh. No.
The Belcher saw you talking the day you saw
him. The day I pitched, it didn't matter. It really didn't.
This is it right here. Now, see, you want to go warm up, don't you? Warm him up out in the parking lot. Get him out there. He can go in anything.
My knees and my back.
Let me grab a wet Kleenex. I'll catch you.
You could.
Yes. Dude, isn't it crazy how like songs can make you think of somebody and make you all feel the pressure? I hear the song and I think about my Uncle Richie. I love this song. Dude, this song
hit. This song is a banger, dude. Look at him.
He was so tired when I first got here. Look at him. Look at him.
Dude, I'm ready to party.
I got a buddy. I got to give a shout out to Steve St. Dennis right now. This is his favorite song of all time. And he can play the drums, and he likes to play the song on the drums all the time.
Yes, he does. So he plays all air instruments, so this song is awesome.
No, he plays the real drums.
Thank you. Mike, can you pitch today?
No.
Do it for the kid. Come on, Mike.
No.
I got achy knees and achy back right now. No way.
You got an achy, breaky heart?
No. That was awful, by the way. That song was bad.
The St. Louis Cardinals won 10 games
in a row. Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I'm happy because my son-in-law is one of the coaches.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
What does tell people if they don't know what his role is?
He's a run productions coach, supposedly.
So most of the credit goes to him, you would say?
No.
I mean, they're producing a lot of runs.
You know what?
If you're going to talk about a guy that deserves credit.
You got Goldschmidt and Arenado. When they get hot, they can carry a team really fast. And Yachty's so, pretty good, too.
That's interesting to me. So his title is Run?
Run's production coach.
Run's production coach.
Yeah.
And so is he in the dugout?
No.
Is he up in the like, where is he?
No, the only time he's ever been out on the, really out and out on the field was, I think the bullpen coach had a family emergency. He had to go warm up pitchers and about killed him.
So where do they have him? Like, what? That's not
He's down in the cage working with guys and stuff, yeah. He's down below.
How long has he been with the Cardinals?
On Major League, 2 years. He was a scout. He was a minor leaguer with the Cardinals. Then he became a kind of a scout as far as in doing all the – he's very good with numbers.
Right.
And so
– analytics. So he's
– but he doesn't believe in analytics. That's the worst part about it.
So he's the numbers guy. Didn't believe in them.
Yeah.
But it's just like –
but he does a very good job. But you know what? They're like,
so it's like a hitting instructor,
there's a place for some of this stuff. I mean, it does some of the crap though, that the shifts and all the other stuff, and it doesn't matter if you strike out.
Oh, you said shifts. I was trying to like, what did Mike just say?
That's you know, the strikeouts doesn't matter. That's ridiculous.
But he's a run production coach.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like a hitting instructor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he works with he talks to hitters and works with them with stuff, and yeah.
Are you always on the phone like, hey, this guy's WAR is 2.1, and move him up in the lineup?
When we talk, which is I don't bother him during the season, but when we talk, it's basically about
all numbers with you.
No, if he does this, he let the ball get deeper and stuff like normal hitting stuff. And he understands that, so. But it's fun because, you know, I got a little dog in the fight right now with the Cardinals because I got my son-in-law's there. So it's kind of fun watching them play and win. And, you know, a month ago they were out of it.
Well,
and they were playing terrible.
Unless they collab, I mean, they got a four-game advantage.
Yeah, they're beating the Brewers, and they got the Reds coming up, I think, yet. And they went out and took care of business in San Diego, and.
What a collapse by San Diego.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, you got a couple of your teammates fighting each other.
Tatis says that's going to make them stronger.
Really? You think so?
Nah.
Machado just got in his face.
He was telling him it's not about
him. Yeah, it's not about you.
It's not about you. It's about the team.
Yep. It is. That's what it boils down to.
I saw that other boy. I bet Mike likes that.
Yeah.
Machado's kind of wild, too.
Machado's always kind of a mean guy.
That's what exactly.
If you got Machado telling you, hey, it's not about you,
that's
about
pretty
the team,
bad. Yeah. Because that's exactly. I've never been a Machado fan. So.
To your point, the Cardinals' playoff odds on August 8th, 1.3% to make the playoffs. Yeah. And were 2 weeks ago. 5%. Now they've won 10 games in a row. 89% chance to make the playoffs, according to Fangraphs.
Mm-hmm. A good 10-game winning streak will really help you. There's something about that. No, they've barely been playing well. You know, they're just hot right now. And that's basically what you want when you go into the playoffs, is you want to be playing really well, playing hot baseball, so yeah, they got a real good chance.
Yeah, and again, the other teams around them absolutely collapsing.
Just oof. Well, the Brewers don't really have to worry about it. So
right, but I mean the Padres. That's
Padres collapse. What are the Reds like? 3.5 or 4 out of it?
They're 4 now.
Yeah. So
the Reds lost last night.
Yeah.
And so
the Cardinals will lose again. It's just a matter of.
But there's only like a week and a half of the season left.
Well,
and they got a 4-game advantage, so they would have to collapse.
Yeah, and they're playing really, really good baseball right now.
And you are on the record before we break. Jake needs 5 wins to win his prop bet for the Royals. 10 games left. Will the Royals win?
They can play 500 against these teams.
Well, I know they can, but will they? This is this kid's money.
Yes, they will.
Do you feel Nate says they will?
No, I say they go 4-6. They're going to fall 1 game short.
Nate says they're going to go 4-6.
Yeah, you're hoping they do. Just to forget.
Mike says
you're on Jake.
Mike says start counting your money, Jake. How do you feel right now after hearing those two opinions?
I'm That's tight
he's
with Nate.
He's shaking you. Oh.
I can tell you this.
They're going to go 4-5. It's going to come down to the last game of the year, and they're going to lose in heartbreaking fashion. And
between Salvi chasing Soler, Salvi battling for the home run title, and his prop bet.
Salvi's going to go deep last day of the year to win 50. You the bet.
Who's got more riding on this last week and a half than this guy in here?
Royals.
He's talking about going out to the Royals game
on a Sunday
during a Chiefs-Eagles game.
Well, you can watch it on the...
You cannot. When the Chiefs are on, you got to have 100% attention on the Chiefs.
I don't
know. Depends how much money you got tied up.
That's right.
If you're producing a sports talk show on Sports Radio 810 WHB, you better be paying attention to the Chiefs.
No. Wait a second. You got you and you've got Nate.
Yeah, but Nate's watching soccer the whole time. I can't depend on him.
That's right. You got a 3 o'clock game, don't you?
Done by then.
You know, this guy coming on Monday. What do you think of the game? Well, Sporting. I don't know, their defense isn't tight enough. I go, hey, damn it, Chiefs.
You see that goal in extra time.
I was watching Lazio play. How many penalty kicks do the Chiefs have?
I might make a phone call to get. I want you out there now.
Well, he did have a good assist Sunday.
That was a great ball.
Hey, you can come to my house, Jake. I got the TV set up. You could have the Chiefs on one.
Go to Nate's house. Or you can go to Petros. He's got a bunch of them too.
Nope, don't. Nope.
If you go to Nate's house, I'm going.
Wow.
To watch you. I'd like to watch you during that.
I'd like to stay away from you because you get way too emotional.
Let me tell you.
I know you do.
I was so...
Chiefs were going to lose one or two games this
year. I know
anyway.
That. It's a regular season game.
I get it.
But I was so irrationally pissed off because I said, Mahomes is going to win the game. They left the Chiefs too much time, you know?
Yep.
Pass. They're already there. Butker's loosening that, warming up his leg. He's feeling good. And I'm talking to him. I said, see, Phil, here it is. They scored two. And then as I'm speaking, and Phil goes like, he fumbled. And I looked, and then it was on. Then you heard about half hour of cursing.
But you... It shouldn't have been that close.
We had everybody hurt.
Couldn't go to sleep. I'm fine now, but I was very
come
angry.
On, Steve.
And you don't want to be around me during those times.
Around
me during the wild card, and I was ready to jump ship in the fourth or fifth inning.
I was about ready to fall asleep. I was so bored.
I
livened things up for you, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
I brought the negative energy over to your row. It was great.
We have a group text thread, and it was pretty much silent the entire Chiefs game. And then all of a sudden, when Allaire fumbled that ball, there was a profanity-laced text.
we don't need to repeat one, I just thought I had to get some off my chest.
I'm going to set my phone to the side because there's nothing to gain from this. And then I got cussed out by Sal, and I didn't even text anything to anybody.
Susan kept saying, put your phone down. So I'll be honest with you, I can't. Susan, I can't. I've got a problem. I can't put my phone down.
You do have a problem.
Stop tweeting. I said, I can't. We'll take a break. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, besides Jake locked in on the prop bet of 73.5 wins for the Royals that he has the over, Salvi broke Johnny Bench's record.
Yes.
He has 46 home runs. He's still tied with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the Major League lead. Otani hit one late last night, so Otani has 45. And then Salvi and Vlad Jr., they have 46. Who do you think wins the home run title?
Poof. I'll go with Salvi because
come on, Salvi.
Vlad's got they play some tough teams. So, yeah.
Salvi has a 2 RBI lead over Jose Abreu, 115 to 113. And so Salvi has a chance to become the first catcher to lead the league in both homers and ribbies since Johnny Bench.
That's pretty awesome.
Many people are finding out was a complete badass, you know, for the younger fans. That's what's great. That's one of the things I love so much about baseball is when you see, like, Salvi doing these things And then you keep bringing up Johnny Bench was tweeting about Salvi. How's that make you feel?
Yeah.
You like that?
Tweeting in Spanish.
Yeah, he's loving it. And so it hopefully forces younger generations to look up and learn more about Johnny Bench and realize that he hosted
Johnny
baseball
Bench
bunch.
Stud.
With the San Diego Chicken, which was must watch TV on Saturday mornings.
And, Johnny Bench, the Big Red Machine,
And don't
pretty
you think
awesome.
If there was a baseball bunch now, Salvi should host it? I mean, who would have more fun with the Chicken and a bunch of kids playing baseball than Salvi?
Yeah, he'd probably want to fry the chicken and eat it, though.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I think Jake would also like to do that as well if he ever got his hands on him.
Boil and then fry it.
And look, he did have an outside chance for a while, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's 10 ribbies behind Salvi. But he still leads the league in batting average and home runs, and so he could lead in two of the three categories. But
it's awesome.
It is awesome. It is. And so he's got two home runs to tie Soler and three to break the Royals record. He could become the first Royal to hit 50. He could lead the league in home runs. He could lead the league in ribbies. And he's already set the single-season mark for catchers hitting home runs.
Well, he hit a ball last night, a line drive to the shortstop, that almost took him into left field. If he'd have clipped it a little bit and got under it a little bit, that ball would have went a long way. He crushed that ball.
How many will he have when you're in here next week? How many did he get this week?
I say two.
So he'll have tied Soler by the time you come back here.
I think so. Guys keep pitching to him. With this time of year, I don't care right now. But even 3 weeks ago, when he was super hot up in Seattle or whatever it was, I was shocked guys were still pitching to him.
But doesn't that help that his chances that the Royals are playing teams that are not competing for a playoff spot?
Yeah.
So, what do they care?
Yeah.
Just pitch to him.
Pitch to him. Please pitch to him.
Would you pitch to him?
Right now? Hell yeah, I would. I'd say, here you go.
What would you throw him? How would you handle Salvi?
I'd throw it right down the chute and let him go deep.
Wow.
What?
That competitive fire, Mike.
Yeah.
Hold on here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter right now.
Right. Also, one other thing I wanted to ask you, because when talking about awards and everything else, I mean, I think Salvi should be top five MVP voting.
Oh, yeah.
I hope he gets enough because, they're going to.
He deserves it.
Ohtani, Guerrero, Marcus Semien is having an unbelievable year for Toronto. But, I mean, Salvi's right there in the conversation.
I mean, he's got a chance at the double crown.
Right. I mean, he should be top five and the position
easily,
he plays.
Easily,
right?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about, you're a Max Scherzer fan.
Yes, I am.
Aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Jake, you like the Dodgers, don't you?
I'm rooting for him.
Scherzer's just dominating out there. He's just been tearing it up.
We were talking about the Padres, now they've collapsed, right? And do you remember pretty much the day of the trade deadline, the reports were the Padres are very close to acquiring Scherzer.
Yeah.
Something happened and the Dodgers
looked at that situation went, nope.
Yeah, something happened when Scherzer said, uh-uh.
Uh-uh.
Do you guys, have you seen what Scherzer has done since the Dodgers acquired him? Do you have any idea what his numbers are?
Yeah, he's doing that for my Roto team.
Listen to this.
His numbers are unbelievable.
Okay, so for Washington before he got traded, 111 innings. He was 8-4 with a 2.76 ERA, 147 strikeouts in 111 innings.
Yeah.
What's wrong? That's good. That's really good. That's why he was and you're thinking, boy, if we can get Scherzer, he can just do that for us down the stretch. We like our chances, right? He said 9 starts for the Dodgers. Wrap your head around this. So he's thrown 58 innings and 9 starts. He's given up 31 hits in 58 innings. His strikeout to walk is 79-7. In 58 innings, how many runs do you think he's given up in 58 innings?
Five.
He's 7-0. With a .78 ERA in the 9 starts since he acquired him.
Yeah, he's just dominated.
And then you add in what Trey Turner did. I mean, obviously, but good God. And the Padres are like, could that have helped? That's the difference right there.
Yeah.
We will.
Somehow the Giants are still a game ahead of them.
Right.
Unbelievable.
But and that's going to be all right. It's a hell of a finish down the stretch. Mm-hmm. But good God, Scherzer. We will take a break back after this with Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's have Gary Lezak tell us about the delightful weather in Kansas City. Hello, Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Fantastic. Did the Boddicker stick around?
He got mad and walked out. Well, he's right here.
Amazing.
He's right
here.
Do you
know what happens today? Do you know what happens today? Today is a very special day.
First day of
equinox.
First day of fall, the autumnal equinox.
Is there an
on this day, every day, it happens only one time a year. Not just the autumnal equinox happening one time a year, but the sun sets at the North Pole today. And it's a significant thing that happens. So sun sets, but it doesn't go dark there. Here we have twilight in Kansas City for about 45 minutes this evening. The sun will set, it'll be twilight, and then it'll be dark. And the North Pole at twilight lasts for about 2 weeks, and then it goes dark, right around October 5th, 6th, or 7th. So interesting phenomena in astronomy that does impact the weather here across our Earth. So the weather pattern, the LRC that sets up each year, right around October 5th, 6th, or 7th is day one of the LRC each year. And that means a new pattern is about to set up. But is it just a coincidence that that's the day it goes dark at the North Pole? Probably not. There's a relationship there astronomically to what happens to the weather pattern that we will be experiencing for the next year. Right now we are still in the old pattern, and it is dry, Boddicker. It is dry.
Yeah, I remember you saying how September was going to be really wet.
No, I didn't say it was.
Yeah, you did.
Is that what you said, Gary?
You said the second half of September was going to be a wet one.
Gary?
Nope, did not.
Oh, yeah, you did. Go back and look at the film,
Gary.
Go back and look at the film, Gary.
There's no films anymore.
Go back and look at the video.
Gary.
Oh, I have some films.
Let me tell you something. The weather.
That's why I planted all that seed, because you said it was going to rain and be a wet September.
And Nate and I planted a bunch of seed, too.
I just lost it. So, yeah. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
We know you read.
By the listen to the almanac, I wouldn't have planted it.
Mm-hmm. Our seed is strong.
Gary.
Farmer's almanac. Yep. Well,
I heard that, Nate. I'm going to tell you that the weather is wonderful. We were outside. We had a couple of volleyball games, and we came home and spent some time outside shooting baskets on our sport court outside. Sportcourtkc.com if you'd like to get a court that's wonderful to play in any weather, especially this beautiful weather. So don't let them tell you the weather that you have provided us, because you are responsible for the weather. It's wonderful. And I'm very thankful that I get to enjoy running suit weather and hoodie weather. It's delightful.
I wore my light coat today. It was 47 degrees this morning.
So jacket on.
Jacket on.
And then later on, of course, jacket off.
Yep.
Gosh. The things that Stephen gets away with saying.
When it gets too warm.
Yeah.
Warms get away up. With nothing.
You come inside,
that's jack, enough.
Jack it off.
Yeah.
Because it's warm in here.
Yeah. Well, not in here.
True. It's cold in here.
It's not in here. My AC's broke.
It's cold in here.
Right now, my jacket's on.
Well, because it's cool outside.
Right. That's good.
Beautiful.
What's going to happen later?
What, is it 71, 72 today? That's what the almanac said. So
72 degrees today.
Yeah, that's funny how that worked out.
Yeah, the almanac's amazing.
It is.
It is. It really is. Oh, my goodness. Crazy. Is Salvi going to hit number 47?
Eventually. I don't know if it's going to happen tonight, but he's going to end up with 49.
You think?
Yeah.
That's our goal?
Yes, to beat Jorge Soler's team record. That's the goal that I'm most concerned with.
All
right. He'll get there.
You can do it. You can do it, Salvi. You can do it. All right, here is your weather forecast for today. Mostly sunny, near perfection. Fall begins. Right now it's, oh my gosh, can you believe it? Right now it is 49 degrees.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Unbelievable.
49 home runs for Soler, excuse me, for Salvi to beat Soler's record. And that'll happen in the next couple weeks. And it's 49 degrees right now. Today's high, 72. Tomorrow's high, 75. Some spectacular weather, but no rain. If you overseeded your lawn, I apologize. I did
have
in my prediction that it would rain in the last 10 days of September a few times. It did rain. It did rain, but only once so far, and not much rain in the forecast. Have a great start to your day. It's almost fall. It's still summer for a little while longer, but fall begins today. Here is Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. You know ceiling fans can help keep your home cool. Shockingly, we are experts at installing them. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913, or bobhamilton.com.
That was Gary Lezak, and then you can watch tonight's 2021 Fall Charity Raffle for the Boddicker Foundation. BoddickerFoundation.org, and it starts at 7. We'll see you tonight, Mike Boddicker.
I will see you tonight, unless you come over to the house and raid all my good stuff in the basement.
Oh, whoa.
Hold on there.
So, see you there.
Wow. All right.
Hold on here.
Jake's coming over.
That's Mike Boddicker. We'll be back after this on WHB.